world behind us. We enter into that glorious reward that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared for us. Can you imagine? It's beyond my ability to comprehend. I can't even begin to fathom the greatness, the majesty that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared for us. Amen. If He's given us our blessings down here, and we know that this is only temporary, wonder what He has prepared for us for eternity. Amen. It's going to be wonderful and glorious. And we're going to live forever and ever in that prepared place. If you have your Bible tonight, turn to the book of Jeremiah. And while you're turning to Jeremiah, someone has a burning testimony. Share with us tonight how good God is. Anyone want to share a testimony? Sister Brenda. Yes.
And, well, they went down there and it talked to them good. But they couldn't understand it. Came back and this other doctor done treatments on him and he had his test and they couldn't find nothing. So I'm praise God for that.
God took care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. God took care of it. Praise God. Someone else want to give a testimony of praise tonight. The healing power of God. Amen. God can do what no doctors can do. Believe that. Amen. Anyone else? Glory to God. One more river, Brother Walter. One more mountain. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, glory. Let's give the Lord a hand. Clap of praise. Can we? Amen. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I want to begin in verse number 5. Jeremiah, chapter number 17. Jeremiah, often called the weeping prophet. Not because he was sad for himself, but he was in remorse over the children of Israel and their backslidden condition. Man, what a burden he carried. Oh, that the church of today would have that weeping burden for the lost souls. And there are many folks. We have loved ones. We have people that we know, people that we work with. We need to have a burden for the lost tonight. In the 5th verse of the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, the Bible reads this way, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how we love and thank You, God, for Your mercy, for Your kindness, for Your grace and love. Father, we're thankful for those who have gathered here tonight, God, to worship and to glorify and to lift You up, to exalt Your name. Father, I pray that You would bless us, God, with Your Holy Spirit tonight. God, I ask that You anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel, God, to give us that word that we need to hear tonight. God, I pray for the lost. I pray for those who stand in need of prayer, those who may be sick, those who are afflicted, and the many who are traveling tonight. God, I pray for their safekeeping. But now, God, I pray that the Holy Ghost would just fall in this place tonight, God. Let it overwhelm us, God. Let it saturate us with Your sweet Holy Spirit. We'll be careful to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give Jesus another hand clap of praise, if you would. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. I want to preach tonight a message entitled Parched Ground. Parched ground, meaning dried out, deprived, or void of water. The prophet Jeremiah uses this analogy to describe the children of Israel. How many knows it doesn't have to be that way? How many knows that spiritually we don't have to live in a parched environment or in a parched wilderness? He even refers to here, he said, it shall not see the good. Or first of all, it says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, the heath being a place of wasteland. There's certain shrubs and grasslands that begin to grow in this parched wilderness and in this area that's described as a wasteland because it needs very little water, but it's not durable. Many times the winds and the storms will blow, and those things that grow are not rooted. Can you say amen? They're not rooted deep in the ground, and it's so easily for the winds to blow them up and scatter them across the landscape. But I pray today that the church would be more rooted and more grounded in the Word of God and be more in tune to the Spirit of God, so that our roots will be root, so that our roots will go down into the deepness of the soil and be rooted and grounded and settled. So when the winds and the storms of life may blow against us, we'll be able to withstand the storm because it'll be in the power of God and His anointed and His staying power rather than our own ability to stand. But I want to talk about parched ground tonight, and I want to describe that and how that I believe it applies to the day and hour that we're living in today. People that I talk to and people that I run across, and it seems today, and you may agree or disagree, but I try to observe, it seems like today that there's no real peace and joy in the land today, even to those people who are so-called successful. Those people who seemingly should be at ease in life, but something in them is not satisfied. Something in them is still longing for something deeper. And they can't really put their mind on it. They can't really put their hand on exactly what it is that's missing in their life. And how many born-again believers could point them to the thing that is missing in their life? Because you can gain the whole world, the Bible says, and lose your soul. And I believe those people that are trying to find contentment, those people that are trying to find a success and peace and joy and the things of this world, are like the prophet's description here of this dry and barren wilderness and wasteland. There's just no growth there. There's nothing to multiply. There's no fruit coming forth. And many, many times churches begin to experience this same situation in a dry land, in a period of drought. And how many knows there is such a thing as a spiritual drought? Not because that God's power is not as real as it always was. How many knows that God is just as mighty as today as He was in the days of Moses and the patriarchs of that time? But so many times we have grown cold and we have grown satisfied and complacent in our worship, and we've come to the process of maybe just coming to church as a duty rather than a benefit. And maybe as an obligation rather than a privilege. I am glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I find my strength coming in and worshiping God with people of like faith. I glean your presence. I glean your spirit. I love these testimonies, and I thank God that we can hear that God is still on the throne today. He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still satisfying souls today, and that makes us yearn for more. And the Bible says here that when we grow basically away from the presence of God, as the children of Israel did, I want you to understand that backsliding doesn't happen overnight. I don't believe that. I don't believe we wake up one morning and realize we're in a backslidden condition. But I believe it's more like the erosion of the seas and the sands and the seashore. Continuous waves come in, and little by little it begins to transform the land, and it begins to pull some of the sand from the seashore back out. And over a period of time, many times the seashore begins to digress and begins to wash away. And can I tell you that so many times when we live for God and the waves of this world are constantly bombarding us, and we're down and we're having situations and problems, and many, many times people just get tired of fighting, they get tired of swimming, and they start to sink down in the miry clay of this world, and they begin to be drawn away from the very presence of God. And this is what causes a backslidden condition. And can I tell you that complacency and comfortability is one of the main things that causes a church or a group of people to begin to slide backwards, as it was with the children of Israel.
Isn't it amazing that when the children of Israel faced adversity, they prayed to God? They were nearer to God through trials and tribulations and through enemies that come against them than they was in trying to live in a successful environment. Many, many times after God had given them their land, after God had given them their victory over many, many battles and over many enemies, and things began to be peaceful, we find the children of Israel begin to look at strange gods, and they begin to worship idols, and they begin to want to be like the world. Let me tell you something, folks. The churches have it backwards sometimes. We don't need to try to be like the world. The world needs to try to be like the church. And I'm not talking about First Pentecostal. I'm talking about the church of born-again believers. Those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who've repented of their sin and made a constant effort, amen, that they're going to live by the word of the Lord. But there seems to be an erosion, as the prophet Jeremiah spoke here. But he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Do you realize today that people are looking to man to fix things? They're looking for man to make their life better. They're looking for a man or a woman or somebody in leadership, amen, to make their life a little bit easier. But can I tell you, folks, all of that will come to naught. As I said earlier, we may be able to obtain the whole world, but if we have forgotten or neglected to make room for our soul in heaven, if we have neglected to give our life to Jesus Christ, if we've neglected to come and repent with a broken and contrite spirit, we can gain everything and lose the most precious thing that we have, and that is our soul that God desires for us to live with Him. And it said it's like living or existing in parched ground. I don't know if you've ever tried to plant anything in parched ground. My wife has gotten, since she's retired, she's decided that she's going to completely transform our whole lot. She's going to do everything she can, I think, to keep me busy and out of trouble. But we have planted things, and you know, there's certain times that you plant, and there's certain times you can't, and certain times you can prune back, and certain times that you can, and some flowers and all. We were looking the other day, we were looking for some things that would grow in the shade. And this is very interesting, because there's a place on our house where it's pretty much shaded all time. And we saw things with partial sun, requires 6 hours of sun. Some plant said plant in full sun. And I thought and I looked around and I was trying to find something that would grow and be productive in the shade. And it was fruitless. I just couldn't find anything. And the Lord began to deal with me and said, you know what? That's the reason that there's no spiritual growth today. Amen. People are trying to grow spiritually under the Lord. Amen. But they're not living in the sun light of God. They're not living in the illumination of the power of God. They want to hide in the shadows. They want to hide in the shade. Amen. And you know why they want to hide in the shadows and hide in the shade? Amen. Because their lifestyle is not one that they want out in the open. It's not one that they want other folks to see. But can I tell you, where the growth is where the power of the sun comes down upon it. Amen. And where the spiritual growth is living in the S-O-N light. Amen. The light of the Son of God. Glory to God. And His illumination and His power is what causes spiritual growth today. Let me live. Let me live in the light that love can give. Let it shine like the sun every day. Glory to God. Because if I find myself somewhere hid in the shadows, I'm afraid that I'm going to be probably not productive at all. And I'm afraid so many times that we'll find ourselves drying up, as the prophet Jeremiah spoke here in this parched ground. I hear so many times of farmers, and we used to have some very dear farmers that came to our church. We have very few farmers now. My grandson's wanting to get into it. He's wanting to plant blueberries and apple trees and two or three other trees, and he's got a place, him and Nana and Kylie, they prepared some soil, and it's about the size from here to there. And if he plants everything he wants to, that's going to be a very productive piece of land. Amen. It's going, and I think he's thinking, as soon as you plant those things, you're going to have an abundance of fruit. Amen. And you know what? Spiritually, you can. Come on, spiritually you can. Give us the desire that that little boy has. Amen. I thought about that yesterday. He is so busy and had his gloves on working in that land. I said, Lord, if we get the church a hold of that vision, amen, working for God, wanting to be productive, wanting to keep yielding fruit and keep testifying and keep witnessing and keep having a burden for lost souls. Amen. God can be productive through us. Amen. But we got to come out of the shadows. Amen. We got to live in the sunlight and ask God to bless us and anoint the vineyards, amen, and go out into the highways and the hedges, amen, and compel them to come in if we want to see growth and revival in the church. And how many knows it's available for those who would desire it and who want it? How many want to see souls saved? Truly we want to see souls saved. But I thought all of the preparation, the best seed in the world that you could buy, if you planted it in parched ground, it's only going to dry up. Seeds are being scattered today. As Jesus gave the parable of the sower and the seed. Some fell on good ground, thank God. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell among thorns and it wasn't productive. And I believe Jeremiah saw that. And he saw the success of those who were planted by the river. And I want you to understand tonight, I'm talking about a spiritual analogy. I'm talking about a spiritual realm of what the prophet is trying to tell the children of Israel and trying to tell them if they would plant and put their roots deep in the ground by that living water. How many knows about that living water? Amen. That living water that Jesus himself described himself as. And he says, it blessed is that man, not cursed. Cursed is that man that tries to live in parched ground. And I thought about it, and I thought about the many people that we see today that seemingly are trying and trying and trying and just can't seem to have peace in their life, can't seem to find contentment, can't seem to find a purpose or direction in their life. But they're seeking the wrong things. They're seeking it through the things in this world rather than a spiritual relationship with the Lord. And let me tell you something, folks. A spiritual relationship, and please understand what I'm about to say, is not a one-night stand. It's an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is having an intimate relationship with Him. It is letting Him not only be your Savior, but also inviting Him to be your Lord. Living your life pleasing unto Him. And let me tell you, that doesn't always please the world. And it doesn't always please self either. But that's making a concerted effort to put God first in our life. You want to see growth. You want to be spiritually growth and have be spiritually mature in your life. Put God first in everything that you do. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then He'll add these other things according, amen, as He sees fit to bless us with. But He says that man that lives or tries to exist in that parched ground, in that dry and barren place, and so many people are trying to live their life and trying to be successful, but their whole environment is parched. It's dry. It's void of that life-giving spiritual water that we need to exist. Amen. We can't live without water. I don't have the scientific knowledge or to tell you, but I have heard all of my life, you can go longer without food than you can without water. You have to have that water. And how many knows we have to have that spiritual water that only God can provide for us? And then he goes on to say, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. I love that statement. Shall not be aware when heat cometh, because the heat doesn't bother the one who is planted by the river. The heat and the dryness of this world and the situations that arise, it's not going to bother that saint of God who's planted deep by the waters, the living waters of God. That person, amen, who is steadfast and unmovable and rooted and grounded in the Spirit of God, they're not going to be affected by the drought. They're not going to be affected by dry times. And I've said all along, it's not that difficult to worship and praise the Lord in an atmosphere that we're in tonight. Thank God that we still have the opportunity to meet and together in a meeting place where we can come and worship and praise the Lord. But I've often said, if this was the only place I could feel the presence of God, I'd just camp out here. I wouldn't leave. But I know it has nothing to do with this building. The environment, amen, that we have is when we have that relationship with God that's ongoing. How many knows He's mobile? How many knows He can go with us wherever we are? But we have to have Him first in our life. And we can be like that tree that's planted by the waters and not live in a parched ground or in a parched environment. But the leaf shall always be green. Amen. And shall not be careful in the year of the drought, because, amen, there's warm, there's water that has been stored up. And I love this. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I want us to think about that for just a little bit tonight, church, because it doesn't matter. Whatever happens in this world, whether we're good in the good times or the bad, whether we're riding high or whether we're as low as we possibly can go, we cannot stop yielding fruit. Amen. And when I'm talking about yielding fruit, I'm talking about yielding fruit of praise and honor and glory to God, and also reaching out to the lost, reaching out to those that are in a parched environment, those who are trying to exist in a dry and barren land. And I believe you understand and know what I'm talking about. Maybe you work with somebody that can seem to never be satisfied. They just everything's always going wrong in their life. There's just nothing that gives them peace, nothing that gives them joy, and that yet we can reach out to them. And the way that we reach out through them is not only by our testimony of our mouth, but our actions. Amen. The way that we conduct ourselves when we're around them, constantly yielding fruit. How many of us look for opportunities to share the goodness of God with folks? Whether it's where we shop, whether it's where we have, as I mentioned this morning, wherever we go to have a haircut or a beauty salon or whatever, do we take the time, amen, to share with people the fruits and the gospel of Jesus Christ and reach out with love, amen, and a desire to see them born again? Because I can tell you that there are people today trying to live a happy life in a parched place, in a dry and barren land, in a wilderness. And there's no growth there. There's no growth. And God forbid that happens to the church. Amen. We talk so many times, and people get discouraged in church. People get discouraged in church, with the church, so many times. But can I tell you, your salvation is not in the church, okay? Your salvation is in Jesus Christ. Amen. You worship with people that you like, have like faith with, and people that you're comfortable with. But you know, God's not gonna ask me, you know, who in your church is going to heaven. That has nothing to do with whether your name is on the roll book or not. We want you to be a part of this congregation. We want you to be a part of this church. But the main thing is to be a part of the church. The born-again believers, amen? Those that are planted by the river, those that are solid, those that are unshakable. I love that term, unmovable and unshakable. What does that mean? That means you're so rooted and grounded in the Word of God that doesn't matter what the environment is. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what comes against you. It doesn't matter about what the economy's doing or not doing. It doesn't matter about current events, whether they're good or bad or indifferent. When you're rooted and grounded and solid in the Word of God, amen, you're going to be unmovable and unshakable by the things of this world, because your faith is not in man. It's not in this world. It's not in government, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will assure you, He will never let you down. He will always be there for you. We need so many people, amen, to be rooted and grounded. Listen again. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when he cometh, not realize it. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Doesn't matter how deep you plant it, doesn't matter how much you work the ground, doesn't matter the best fertilizer or seed that you put in the ground, if it doesn't have that water, if it doesn't have that life-giving source, and thank God for that living water that we can feel within our spirit. How many knows it'll get you through the dry times? It'll get you through the parched situations. It'll get you through those things when you think everybody else has turned their back on you. Amen, because Jesus won't do that. I love you with all of my heart. And my desire and my prayer is that we'll be more productive for God, that we'll be rooted and grounded, unmovable and unshakable. There used to be a song, like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Amen. You know what this meant? I'm not going to be moved by the environment. I'm not going to be moved by trouble. I'm not going to be moved by the situation of this world. But I'm going to be steadfast in the Word of God. And God will bless you for it, because the Bible says, blessed is that man, amen, who makes his abode and who lives by that place in the water. Glory to God. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you coming out on a Sunday night. Good to see each and every one of you. I pray that God will bless you this week. I pray that each and every one of us will have a desire to witness to at least one person. That's not a whole lot to ask in 1 week's time. Many people that we come in contact with. If you'll just witness to one person, if everyone here under the sound of my voice can find some person to reach out to. You know, there's people out there, whether they admit it or not, they want somebody to understand what they're going through. They want somebody to reach out to them. It could be anyone. It could be a friend. It could be a relative. It could be a family member. It could be someone that God puts in your way. And here's the thing about it. I found out, if we pray, Lord, send me somebody, He'll do it. Amen. He'll do it. And it might be a place you least expect it. But God moves on both ends. Not only does He move on that person who needs help, but He'll move on you too. So have that desire. If each and every one of us will just reach out to someone this week. Can we do that? Would you stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed? We say here this altar's never closed. We don't open the altar. It's always open. It's a place that you can come and gather. If you're sick, the Bible says, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray the prayer of faith and anoint with oil, you'll be healed. Man, if you need encouragement, if you need direction in your life, there's no better place to find it than coming down to the altar and seeking God. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God is praying. Is there one tonight that has a need? While no one is looking around, if you have a prayer request that you'd like this pastor to pray with, just lift your hand. God knows. You don't even have to tell me, but I'll be praying for you this week. God bless those hands. We see those, and God sees those, and we'll be praying for you. Let's pray for this sister.